Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
I was thinking about the scripture. It says, "May God supply all your needs in Christ Jesus." And then I was thinking about another scripture in the Psalms where the psalmist says that he daily loads us with benefits. Isn't that true? That's the Lord that we serve. Today we're back in Daniel again, Daniel chapter 7. And this is the Ancient of Days, part 2, from Daniel chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 9 today and pick up where we left off last week. I've enjoyed this study that we're doing in the book of Daniel, and it correlates with so many other passages of Scripture that it's hard to move very quickly in some of these sections of Scripture. But if you'd stand for the reading of God's Word, if you're able. The Ancient of Days, part 2. Last week, Jack Fredrickson asked me if I was picking on him when he saw that title, The Ancient of Days. So if we need a prop for the white hair and all the other things, we can always use Jack. And I love Jack. I appreciate Jack. Look at Daniel chapter 7, starting in verse 9. He says, "I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. A thousand thousands ministered to him." That word ministered is key. "A thousand thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened." Now, move down to verse 13, and we'll see a second part of the vision of the Ancient of Days. "I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And God, we pray this morning, Lord, that we would focus on the Ancient of Days, that we would see and realize that we have a God in heaven that is sovereign in the affairs of men. And Father, that we would understand that even in a dark hour, even in dark times in our nation or in our culture, that we have the sovereignty of God who rules and reigns at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. The captain of a ship looked into the dark night and saw a light in the distance. Immediately he told his signalman to send a message, "Alter your course 10 degrees south." He promptly received a reply, "Alter your course 10 degrees north." The captain sent another message, "Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a captain." Sooner, another reply was received, "Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a seaman, third class Jones." The captain sent a final message, "Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship." The reply was, "Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a lighthouse." And when you think about it, that's kind of the way it works with you and I. Jesus Christ is the lighthouse. God is the lighthouse. His will, His sovereignty, His way, His plan, His word is fixed from eternity's past. His word is not readjusted because of the climate of the world or anything like that. His word is fixed as a fixed position in our lives and in our nation. And so when we think about God and we think about the Ancient of Days, we need to realize what Daniel was saying. Now, you can remember last week, we looked at those four empires. And so when we saw those four empires, what's so stunning about that is you see how God, in his sovereignty, was working in the midst of empires. Even though there was evil empires, God, in his sovereignty, would do certain things, and he would move and he would work in those empires. We have a God today that has not changed. The Bible says that he is the same today, yesterday, and forever. There's no shadow of turning in him. We have a God who is absolutely not weakened by evil. His strength remains and his sovereignty remains. Now, as believers and as Christians, we can trust the Lord. We can trust his word. It is fixed. And so that's the thing that we want to start with as we look at this. On your outline, there's two parts to our message today. We'll get as far as we can. If we don't get through, well, we'll finish up again in a couple of weeks. But in the outline, the Ancient of Days in the Father. So we want to look at the Father portion of this. Now remember that God and the Son are one. Jesus says, I am in the Father is in me. You can never separate them, but you can separate their personages or their ministries. You have God the Father, you have God the Son, and you have God the Holy Spirit. It's what we call the Trinity of God. And so when we get to verse 9, we're going to see his person and authority, and that's on your outlines. A, his person and authority is unmatched. It's unmatched. Now I want to make a observation real quick before we read verse 9. You might make a note of Psalms 110:1. Because the question that scholars have debated is verses 9 through 10, is that Jesus the Son? We can see Jesus the Son in verses 13 and 14. And I say that there's really no debate. There's really no argument. It's easy to see. You have God the Father in the Ancient of Days in verses 9 and 10. And you have the transfer of power to give an all judgment and power to the Son in verses 13 and 14. And so the Ancient of Days that we want to look at first is in the Father. Now you're going to see a parallel in Revelation chapter 1 verses 13 through 18. Of where you can see Jesus. Jesus is being alluded to as not just Jesus, the Son of Man that walked on this earth, but as in the Father, the Ancient of Days. Jesus is deity. Jesus is God. And so when we get to Revelation chapter 1, he's being revealed, he's being unveiled. That's what Revelation is. And so we're seeing that he is the Alpha and the Omega. We're seeing that he was the one that was from the beginning, that was born, that died, and that lives forevermore. We're seeing that Jesus, he relates back to that Ancient of Days because God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Now, Psalms 110:1 is very, very interesting. As a matter of fact, to save time, I want to read it out of Matthew. And if you look in Matthew chapter 22, Jesus said something that is pretty amazing. Now, there was a lawyer and there were some scribes and Pharisees that were trying to trap Jesus. They were testing Jesus with some questions. And Jesus is trying to show that he is the Messiah, that he is the I Am, that he is the God that has come, that he has fulfilled Scripture in his birth and in his ministry. And so he gets to this point in chapter 22 of Matthew, verse 41, and while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? By the way, it's capital S. Whose son is he? Capital H. They said to him, the Son of David. Now, his answer is going to quieten them, and the Bible says in verse 46, they didn't dare ask another question anymore. Because here's how Jesus answered. He said to them, how then does David, in the Spirit, capital S, call him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Now he's quoting Psalms 110:1. So in Psalms 110:1, you have this passage. The Lord said to my Lord. That first word for Lord in Psalms 110 is Jehovah God. okay, said to my Lord. That second word for Lord is Adonai. See the difference? So Jehovah God said to my master, said to my sovereign master is what he is saying. That's what King David was saying 300 and something years before Daniel, before this was penned in Daniel. And so he's saying, the Jehovah God said to my Lord Adonai. Who is Adonai? Jesus. This is Jesus. So the Father said to my Lord, my Master, the one, the Christophanes, the one who has appeared as the fourth man in the fire, the one who appeared in the burning bush in Exodus 3 with Moses. He's saying, that's my Master. That's my Adonai. That's who has revealed mysteries and revelations. Is it has been Him, because He is the essence of God and one with the Father. And so Jesus says, if David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? Now we know he's the son of David by genealogy, by birth, but not by spirit. And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day on did anyone dare question him anymore. So keep that in mind when we read this passage. So here we go, verse 9, chapter 7 of Daniel. I watched till thrones were put in place, or that word means set or established, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. Now, if you were living in Daniel's day, they caught that instantly. In other words, now, a lot of times we say older than dirt, or we'll use terms like that. What he's saying is that this God that I serve, he's unlike any little g God that y'all come up with on a daily basis here in Babylon. This God that I serve, he's Ancient of Days. This God I serve, he was before time was ever created. This God that I serve is infinite in sovereignty, because he's just given how God predicted, knew, and understood everything about these four kingdoms in the vision in the first 8 verses of Daniel chapter 7. We know that in Daniel chapter 2, that image pictured those empires that Nebuchadnezzar had the dream and saw. And we know that a stone was cut out of the mountain in that vision, cut without hands, and that stone crushed the feet of the image, and the entire image fell. Now, why is that important? Because that stone was Jesus Christ. His kingdom will live forever, and he came during the Roman Empire. He was born in Bethlehem. Now, so he says he was seated, and his garment was white as snow. You can make a note of Revelation chapter 1, verses 13 through 18. You can see some parallels. And the hair of his head was like pure wool. Now, watch this. His throne was a fiery flame. Let me illustrate that. Colton, Trent, do we have a, yes. See that lava coming down this volcanic mountain? That was from this past Friday with a volcano eruption in Indonesia. And that was at Mount Meripi. I hope I'm saying it right, Mount Meripi. And that was a great photograph of that lava. That's the illustration. That's the picture that is being used. His throne was a fiery flame. Now, in the Bible, fire typically represents the holiness of God. It represents the carrying out or the execution of his judgments. Now, y'all might remember May 18th, which was a Sunday, 1980. You remember what happened then? That's right. Mount St. Helens. Do I have to throw you a Werther's? Okay, thank you, Jim. There's like two. Mount St. Helens erupted. And you might remember that the ash went hundreds of miles. Matter of fact, that was the most destructive volcano that the United States has ever experienced. They say that it's, I don't know how to say this word very well, but there's a measurement for volcanoes. They call it, Teresa, what's that word?
You tried.
I tried it this morning, so I'm going to avoid it. But it's kind of like an earthquake. Hey, you read an earthquake, but it reads volcanoes, and it registered number 5 on the index, which is really high. We had gone to Washington a couple of years after that, and so I got to get a little deal of ashes. I don't know what I've done with them, from Mount St. Helens. But it was very destructive. And at the throne of God, this is what Daniel is seeing in his, it was like velos. What's the word? No, it's not that. Explosivity, something like that. Explosivity. Anyway, you can look it up sometime. Yeah, that's something like that. This was not meant to be part of the message today. Kind of like what happened to this can in my freezer. See how the whole top blew off? This is a sparkling water. And I was making coffee one morning. I heard an explosion behind me. I mean, I like to jump out of my skin. And this has got green tea in it and a little bit of caffeine. It's a sparkling water. And it blew the whole top off. Notice it didn't even affect the little pull tab or anything. And when I opened the freezer, crushed ice fell out. It was the beatenest thing I ever seen. It had an explosivity of about 6 or 7. And anyway, that's for another story for another day. So his throne was a fiery flame. So Daniel is seeing judgment pour forth from this throne room. Now keep following it, because he says next, its wheels a burning fire. Now that's really important, because that means that his throne is active. Now you can remember in Isaiah chapter 6, 1 through 6, where you see a picture of the throne room. And you can see in Ezekiel where the throne is described like having wheels of fire, spinning wheels. Now, back in that culture, in that day, a lot of kings had a mobile throne. It was on wheels, to where they could pull that throne so that the king could be transported from point A to point B, and he could still lead from his throne. It would be a throne that meant that he had the scepter. It meant that he is in judgment, even though he's not in the same place that he was in a palace, even though he may be over here. And so the picture there is that when Daniel is seeing what's going on with the Ancient of Days, he says, number one, whatever he decides to do is like a volcano. I mean, a fiery stream issues from his word. He's saying, number two, that he is active. In fact, on your outline, that's B, his throne is active and his plans will succeed. They will succeed. So you can trust him today. By the way, he was active in those four empires, if you remember. Remember in that first one under Nebuchadnezzar, the head of gold. I watched till its wings were plucked off. You can see how the sovereignty of God enters into the empire. And it was lifted up. And it was made to stand on 2 feet like a man. And a man's heart was given to it. That's God exercising his judgments. And it was raised up. And dominion was given to it. And then another one, 3 of the first horns were plucked out. It's a picture that God intercedes and intervenes within kingdoms of this world, and he's going to do his will. You can trust the Lord. Then he gets to verse 10. And that's C on your outline. The angels serve him, and the wicked will be judged by him. This one's pretty easy to interpret and to comprehend. But he says, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. From before him. In other words, it was because of him that the fiery stream, the judgments are coming out. Now watch what else is happening there. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. If you write in your Bible, you ought to underline or circle ministered, because this is how you know it's angels as well. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. By the way, did you know that the Bible always describes the throne room of being surrounded by angels? Again, you see it in Isaiah 6. You see it in other places in the Bible. You see it in Revelation. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. He says, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne. Many angels around the throne. The living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That's how many grass spurs used to be in my yard. In other words, a lot. So when you look at the Bible and you look at the throne room, you're going to see it surrounded by the angelic host. When you look in Revelation and you look at when they're singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord," you're going to see thousands times then thousands of angels surrounding the throne. But look at the change in wording. So a thousand thousands ministered to him. By the way, Hebrews 1:14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? But you see a change in the wording. I don't want to get on that yet, but you do see a change in the wording. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. See the difference? You have the angels ministering to him. Then you have peoples standing before him because the books are fixing to be opened. Judgment is fixing to take place. Now, one more thing on these angels, because sometimes people say, well, are the angels still as active today as they were back in the Old Testament? Sure they are. Yeah, angels didn't get restricted because we dwelled on earth. In fact, we need them a whole lot more, I think. Angels, in fact, the Bible says you never know when you're entertaining angels. And one of my favorite passages on angels, because we don't typically see angels with our eyes. Now, if we were all to give testimonies, we could give various testimonies on angelic moments, possibly, in our lives. But here's something interesting. If you ever get time, go to 1 Kings or 2 Kings chapter 6 and read what happened right there. If you remember, Syria is trying to attack Israel. And I mean, but they can't succeed. And the first reason was is because Elisha, the Lord is sharing with Elisha what their plans are. And so every time that they'd go to ambush Israel, it wouldn't work out for them because somehow it's like Israel knew about it. So finally they say, hey, what is going on? Why does Israel keep finding these things out? Who's leaking all of the information? And so the servant underneath the Syrian king says, hey, it's this guy named Elisha. And I mean, every time he knows what you're saying in your bedroom. We don't know how he knows, but he knows what's going on. And so they decide to come get Elisha, and they decide that they're going to try to attack and surround the whole region. And when they do, Elisha's servant walks outside, and he sees that they're completely surrounded by the enemy. And I love how it's worded, verse 12, "And one of his servants said, 'None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom.'" So, wham, they surround the city, verse 16. The servant goes outside in verse 15, and he sees that they're surrounded by horses and chariots all the way around. And he comes back in to Elisha, says, "My master, what shall we do?" Now, here's where you're going to see the angels. Verse 16. "So he answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.'" Now, can you see the look on this servant's face? When he walks back in, he just sees me and Elijah. And Elijah's like, "Oh, there's more of us than there is of them." And so Elisha prays in verse 17. 2 Kings chapter 6. "And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." You know what the rest of that story says? Now, this is a reminder of how God, now there's no way we're going to finish this sermon, but we're going to get a little ways. But this is a reminder of how God operates in the affairs of nations and men. This is why you need to understand this angelic story here. Because you know what happens? Elijah opens his servant's eyes and they see all this army surrounding them. And you know what Elisha does? He says another prayer. "God, strike them with blindness." Have you ever seen an army succeed if they're all blind? So he strikes them with blindness. Elisha goes out there. "Hey, let me lead y'all back to your hometown." Well, they get them all together, holding hands, however they did it, and they lead the whole army, guess where? Downtown Samaria, right in the heart of Israel. The Lord used one man, Elisha, and a servant, to literally bring, by his angelic power, an entire army right into downtown Samaria, let them in there blind, Then he says, open their eyes. Can you imagine how afraid they were when they opened their eyes? Now, you know what the king of Israel is saying at this point? Can I kill them? Can I kill them? Can I kill them? And Elijah is saying, no. He says, what I want you to do, have a feast for them. Feed them, get them some water, and send them back to their nation. The Bible tells us at the end of the story, they didn't have, our language, they didn't have no more trouble out of Syria right there. Those guys never came back as raiders and banding together again. I can just see the whole army is saying, don't send me. I done been blind once trying to get down there, and they led me right into downtown Samaria. Now, why am I trying to emphasize this point? To remind you and I, yes, we live in a crazy world. We have peoples in the world that think that they're actually the ones in control. Let me tell you who is actually in control. It's God in heaven. And he is not, his power is unlimited. His throne is active and his plans will succeed. His person and authority is unmatched. You say, well, wait a minute, I'm confused. That means that authority, that's not yet. That authority is way down the road. That's after he comes back. No, it's not. Matthew chapter 28 in the Great Commission, he didn't say that he will be given authority. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been, past tense, because of the resurrection, has been, not will be given. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Paul says that he has highly exalted him. He didn't say he will highly exalt him. He has highly exalted him. Man, I could go on with more scriptures just on that alone, but I think we need to end it right here. And then we'll pick up next time. And I want you to, during the week before then or a couple of weeks, look up all the scriptures you can find where you see Christ coming in the clouds of heaven. And you'll see the rest of the story in verse 14, chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, of what is happening, how that power transfer is taking place with the Ancient of Days. It'll go from the Ancients of Days in the Father to the Ancient of Days in the Son. We have a God that we can trust. You can trust him in your personal life. You can trust him in this nation. We need to be praying for this nation. And we need to pray for a revival. That's what I'm praying for, a great awakening. That God would move in the hearts of men and that he would convict of sin and draw us ever so close to the Savior. The answer for the world today is still the same. It's in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, we pray, Lord, that you would just keep our hearts focused on you. We thank you, Lord, that we have a standard as written in the Bible. That, Lord, that we don't have to establish a new standard. We have an ancient standard that has been given by the Ancient of Days. And Lord, it's our desire, it's our heart's desire, that Lord, that you would help the world see their need for Jesus Christ in the Ancient of Days. That Lord, that you created the very earth that we live on. You created the air that we breathe. You created these bodies, and you're the one that gives us our breath, and you give us our life. And Lord, we exalt you. We worship you as majesty. We worship you as our Adonai. And God, we pray. We pray for this community and for this city and for this state and for this country. And Father, we pray that you would move in the hearts of men. Lord, that you would exercise your authority and your will. You said that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You said that for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And God, that's our prayer this morning. Turn our hearts back to you and turn those that are lost to you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for choosing to worship with us via the radio today. Come join us anytime at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church.